We started this three-part series, My First, Last, and My Best. And for those that weren't here, we talked about giving God my first and what that really entails. And though it may sound like we're talking about tithes and offerings and giving financially in these things, it's not just that. There's a principle here that goes beyond just a monetary amount, okay? Because this is all a matter of the heart. One of the things that, Dave Ramsey said this week at a conference to pastors, and for those who don't know Dave Ramsey, he's a financial guru. He's a Christian. He does a Financial Peace University, which we just went through. He said to the pastors in a conference this week, "Pastors, you should stop preaching about people tithing more until you start preaching about people budgeting." And it made me go, whoa, you know, why? Why would you say that, you know? And then the more I thought about it, it makes, in a way, a lot of sense. Now, we provided a six-week course on how to honor God with our finances through video conferencing. We did a six-week thing on financial peace. Some who went through it already are starting to see blessings. I know Jenny shared last week here in church how, you know, she's already getting out of debt, which is one of the first steps. Yeah, Cole's credit card's gone, so, you know. But he teaches these things. And he was saying, get people out of debt before you start preaching about, you know, tithing more. He said, for every tithing service, you should have two sermons on budgeting. You know, but this makes a lot of sense because it's how we steward money, but even beyond money, how we steward the blessings of God. Okay? How we steward ourselves within the blessings of God. See, when it comes to giving, as I said, when I heard this, I thought about a few things. There's three reasons, three things that can happen, okay, why people don't give more or tithe more. One, you don't believe in tithing. Or you don't want to tithe. A lot of people just feel like, you know, they don't have to. That issue is a heart condition, which God has to work on your heart, because giving is scriptural, and there's a reason for that. It's His anyway, and we've talked in many times about honoring God and what it means, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means. Second reason people don't give more is they don't have more to give. They're already giving what honors God in their life. They're just not making more to give more. In which case, one of the prayers my wife and I have is, Lord, decrease our bills, increase, Lord God, our finances so that we can sow more into your kingdom, so we can give more. That's one of our regular prayers. The other reason, which is back to the Dave Ramsey thing, people don't give because they don't budget. They don't budget. They don't think about how to steward things correctly in the order that God has for us in these things. Because when we do things the way God tells us to do it, and if you missed the message 2 weeks ago, please listen to it. Because this series is going to walk you along this journey in many ways to do these things. But when we honor God first, He blesses us. He moves in our lives. And I'm not going to get into 2 weeks ago's message any more than that. But the question that we have, that throughout the series we're asking, last time we asked the question, because a lot of people think, why does God want my money? Why does God want me to give? Why does God want me to do? The question shouldn't be, why does God want me? Should be, why should I? Why is it important for me to give God? And 2 weeks ago was to give God my first. Today we're going to talk about, Why is it important for me? What does it do for me to give God my last? And I want to begin. We're going to go through several scriptures, and I'm going to just share with you some principles that we can pull out of these scriptures. I want to first turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And why are we doing this? Is, as you know, as we enter the new year, we're entering a time of fasting. As January is our month of fasting and praying, and we're believing God for more. We're believing God to do some awesome things with this ministry, with this family, with this church, in this community. We want to be able to do more. But in order to do more, we have to be more. We have to be more like Jesus as a church. We have to have our priorities more like Jesus. I can try to give you the greatest rah-rah speech, and I've done everything I can to inspire people and motivate people, but I've realized it has nothing to do with me, because you'll be high on emotion today, but in 2 weeks it would die down. It has to be Spirit-inspired. It has to be based on conviction, not from my words, but from the heart of God speaking to each person's heart. As I said earlier, having our Father's DNA. That's kind of been my work today. Lord revealed that in prayer. I'm like, yeah, we need our Father's DNA, His genetic code. So this is why it's important that we do this. So why is it important for me to give God my last? Well, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Let's read the story. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, so a wife of a prophet, cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in this house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." In other words, don't just get a couple. Get a lot. Get everything you can find. "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons. Then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." So, story is, this woman's husband passed away. No more means of income. So now, all the debt that they owe was going to be taken from her by enslaving her two sons to work for the person they owe money to. She's got nothing left. Elisha asks her, "What do you have left to give? What do you have left to offer?" Now, what does oil represent? Holy Spirit. She says, "I just have this. This is the last thing I have." He says to her, "Go, find anything empty you can find. I don't care what it is. Any jar that you can put something in it and do it." Sometimes, one of the principles here is sometimes there has to be an act of faith to precede the miracle. Let me say that again. Sometimes there has to be an act, a physical act of faith that precedes the miracle. What happened this morning? Tracy had the basket symbolically of getting rid of stuff. What happened with Susie? Having her walk in faith, even though she's still, in those moments, achy a little bit. That act of faith says, God, I trust you. So why do I need to give him my last? Because I'm saying, God, I trust you with this. I'm trusting you even though it looks kind of hopeless at the point. This is all I have. But what is God saying? He's saying, that might be all you have, but that's not all I have. Okay? I have a lot more than you realize. So what happens? They bring all these vessels. Now here's something kind of important. Why does he tell them shut the door? Why does he tell them shut the door? It's the same reason why when Peter went to heal, if I remember right, it was the daughter, Jairus' daughter, went to heal her, he kicked all the mourners out and only kept those who would believe. See, it's important to shut that door to anyone who's going to create disbelief and doubt. Sometimes that door that needs to be shut is the door of our own thoughts, right? Shut that door so all that remains is faith. All that remains is hope in him. Not in me, in him. All that remains is the space created for the miracle to take place in your life. Get rid of the naysayers. Get rid of anything that's going to cause doubt in your mind. And what did he say? It's going to fill. And they kept emptying it out and emptying it out, and they filled every jar. Now, the interesting point to this is the blessing stopped when the jars were full. If there were more jars available, it would have continued. How does that speak to you and I here today? When we keep emptying ourselves out of ourselves, keep presenting God with empty jars. God, I'm giving you my last, my very best, my everything. Here's my empty vessel. God will continue to pour in. We just read, the pouring in stopped when they had nothing else to fill it with. Now, they had more enough to live with. He said, go sell it, take care of your sons. You're still going to have plenty of oil to live on to make your cakes and your breads and stuff. But how much more could we have? And I'm not talking about rich. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the blessings of God, the work of God in our lives. How much more would it be as we continually present ourselves to God as an empty vessel every day, every time? Lord, fill me up. Come and fill me up. I will give you my very last. I will give you all that I have, everything that I have left, because you still have so much more. So much more waiting for us. So much more. So it's a matter of trust. And like I said, sometimes an act of faith has to proceed. We have to present the empty vessels first before the oil overflows. Because God's not going to waste it. He's not going to say, okay, here's my fountain. I'm just going to let it pour out and I'll wait for you to get the vessels and just let it fall on the ground. When the greater the sacrifice, the hotter the fire that comes down. When the vessels are presented, the empty vessels, God will fill them up. So that's one story. Let's read another story. 2 Kings 4:38-41. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot, boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. though they did not know what they were. Then when they served it to the men to eat, now it happened, as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, "Man of God, there is death in this pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring me some flour." And he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people, that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So what's going on here? So here's Elisha coming back from where he was. Come back to Gilgal, where there's a bunch of prophets. They're starving. There's a famine in the land. So they send out one of the prophets, "Find us anything you can that we can add some water and throw some stuff in and make something to eat." So he finds this wild vine with some gourds he had no clue about. Remember, these are prophets, not agriculturists. Though they might have some knowledge of what's edible or not, but there was a famine. And when you are starving, when you are hungry, and you see something that looks like fruit, that looks like it might be edible, you're going to pick it up. So they took it, sliced it up, made a stew out of it, and as they were eating, they realized it was poisonous. For many, it was already in their system. What did Elisha do? He said, "Get some flour." Now, my first question is, where did the flour come from? There's a famine in the land. Well, Elisha just returned from where he was. So he was at the place where there was something that would bring healing, that would bring benefit, that would bring hope, that would bring satisfaction. They were at their wits' end, that they were willing to eat anything that looked edible. Sometimes giving God what we have left makes us feel like we're dying, right? "But God, this is all I have left. If I give you my very last thing, what do I have left to live on? If I give you my very last energy, what do I have to live on? What do I have to give?" I've shared with you many times, it's amazing what God does. So many times, I would come home from work and I might have a meeting with somebody or something going on that evening, and I'm exhausted, and I would even start to get physically ill. And I'm going, "God, I got nothing to give tonight. I got nothing to give. I feel empty." And I will be first to tell you too, there's many times on a Sunday morning I've walked coming to church and I'm going, "Lord, you better give me something, because I got nothing. I have nothing. I might have words on a page, but words alone don't cut it. It's you, God. I have nothing. I'm at my end." But see, God is just saying, "Don't worry about how much you have. Be willing to give me what you have. Whatever's left. I'll take whatever else." When I am sick, laying on the couch, going, "Maybe I should cancel my meeting or my time," God's saying, "I've ordained this meeting. I know you don't have much, but you have the ability to at least drive there. You have the ability to at least sit there." So you begin to give God what you have. I begin to give God what I have left. And then what happens? His spirit breaks through. His spirit comes in. And he moves. And it comes out of nowhere. Just like Elijah saying, "Oh, give me that flour that's in my pouch." Most of them are like, "Where the heck has this flour been?" But he brought this flour from another place to bring healing to those who were at their wits' end. And sometimes that's how we feel. Giving up everything that we will have nothing left to survive. But then God reveals the unexpected. Because who would have expected flour to kill the poison in these gourds? Because I want you to understand the picture here. These are poisonous gourds nobody was familiar with. How would flour cure poison. I just got bit by a rattlesnake. Get me some flour. That's the concept that's going on here. Okay? But God says, I will take this flour. What do you make flour out for? What do you use flour for? Bread. What does bread represent in the Bible? Jesus, bread of life. The thing that life is created from, spiritually, kills off the poison. So God will give you what you need when you are at your wit's end. When you're saying, Lord, this is all I have. If I give it because I want to be faithful, I'll have nothing left. But if I do it, I might be able to do this. But guess what? You'll always have something you need to do it with. But when you give it to God, whether it's your talents, your time, your skills, your money, whatever it might be, God releases something. God releases miracle from unexpected places. It happens without you realizing it in the littlest thing, because faithfulness brings about unexpected results. It doesn't happen the way we think it should happen, right? It doesn't happen the way our mind wants to logically process it and say, this is the way it's going to work. If I do A, B, and C, D, E, and F will take place perfectly. God's saying no. If you do A, B, and C, I'll do X, T, V, and W. But it'll work. Because I will make it work. That's how God does. Let's look at another one. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 through 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Tells Elisha, go and stay there. I want you to live there. Okay. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and we came to the gate of the city. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare for it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. This is it, God. We're just going to, have our last meal and then just wait it out. We don't even have a funeral plot picked out. We're just going to hang out at home, and when people start smelling something, they'll know we're gone. That's it. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So Elijah, get up and go to Zarephath. You're going to be living with a widow for a while. I'm not telling you this yet, but this widow is like broke and ready to die. She's got nothing for you, because as a prophet, when you're invited in somebody's house, they've got a spread for you. They're going to honor you with a prophet's reward, because you're a big deal, that you will, as a prophet, come and live with them. So he shows up, and here's the thing. The widow acts like she's clueless of this. But God said, I've already commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, from what we just read in Scripture, an angel didn't show up to this widow and said, you're going to have a prophet come live with you and be ready for him, because she's obviously shocked and not ready for him. If an angel did show up, she's putting on one heck of an act. But what God did was prepare the miracle, prepare the way. I commanded the widow, I'm preparing the way for something great to happen. That God is working here. This is an indication that God is in this. Just like God was in the word he gave Pat today for Susie. God is in it. He's about to do something through it and break through. So he already commanded this thing to take place. So he shows up. He says, go get me a cup of water. What does water represent? Holy Spirit. So what is he saying? He said, go get me the Spirit. Bring to me your Spirit. The Spirit within you. What is left of it. Go bring it to me. Get me a cup of water. Then he says, I love this. Give me the bread that's in your hand. What does bread represent? Jesus, bread of life. So give me the life that is left in your hand. Give me your Spirit. Give me your life. And she says, I have no life left. I just have this flower that I'm trying to make for one last few breaths of life. Just to prolong the life that I do have left for a few more hours. This is all I have. He's saying, give me your Spirit. Give me your life. And she says, I'm barely holding on. I have nothing left to give. That's okay. Go make me bread and oil. Go make me bread and a cake. You know, take the oil, make a cake for me. Almost totally ignoring what you just said. Think about this. I mean, really, think about what you just said. She said, I have nothing left. I have this tiny bit for my son, my pride and joy, and myself, and then we're dead. That's okay. Go get, just make me bread. The very last thing, I mean, could you be in any worse position right now? If they're at this last bit, because understand the scene that's taking place. To get to this point in life, you probably sold everything that you had. Anything you can get anything for, traded for, you probably already did it because you would have done everything you could to survive another day in hopes of something breaking free. So you would have done everything possible. So when she says, I have nothing left, she literally means I have nothing left. They probably sold the straw or gave away the straw for something that they slept on. I have nothing left. I barely am hanging on to life itself. But he tells her, don't worry about it. Don't fear. Just go make me a cake. Make me a cake. And then he says to her, as she went away, and he said that they ate for many days, and the bin of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. Because he said in verse 14, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. So when God releases his blessing on the earth for others to partake in it, you are going to be blessed. Until the point when it spreads to other people, God is taking care of you. He cares about you. He sent me a half a world away to come stay with you, to bless you. You just have to trust me. You just have to trust me. And you know what she did, didn't she? She did. Can you imagine when she's sitting there making that cake, what thoughts are going through her mind? Most of us would probably be using words in our underneath our breath that we wouldn't be heard speaking in public. But she did it to honor the prophet, to honor the man who represents God. She gave her very, very last. And it's what she needed to do to realize how loved she was. When you realize how much God thinks about you, the individual, if that doesn't send chills up and down your body and bring you to tears of how much our God loves us and cares about every single one of us, I don't know what does. He has not left us or forsaken us. When we trust Him with our last, He's given us His everything. She said, God, all I have left is this little bit of spirit in me and the last bit of life left in me. And He said, guess what? I've got a lifetime supply for you. You trade me your little, and I will trade you my lot. You trust me with what you think is everything left, and I will show you the more that I want to pour out onto you. These are principles that God has for us when we trust Him in these things. This is His love revealed. This is His hope instilled and built. I promise you, this widow and her son will never doubt again. Their faith just skyrocketed because they realized the living God is in love with them. And when they thought no one on this planet was even thinking about them anymore, their Heavenly Father thought so much of them was to send somebody from another country, another place, to them to bless them. That's the blessing of God when we trust Him with our last. And the final scripture I want to share with you, this is in the New Testament, Luke 21:1-4. Most of us know this story, but let's look at it maybe from a different perspective here. And he looked up, this is Jesus, and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty in all the livelihood that she had. So this woman, the last bit of coin, that's all she had. She was pouring it in. And Jesus looked and says, man, look at her. Look at her. And he's telling his disciples, look at her. What makes what she put in more than everyone else here? Because he says clearly, what she's doing is more powerful, impactful, than anything anyone else is doing. What is the abundance of her heart that Jesus is talking about? See, this woman had nothing left financially. But this woman has everything given to her spiritually. Now, we don't know what happens to her after that moment. But if Jesus called it out, you know God's honoring it. If Jesus is blessing in words what she is doing, you know His Father's honoring it, because Jesus doesn't say or do anything that His Father hasn't said or done in heaven. He declared that many times. I only do and say what my Father does and says. The Father and I are one. So if Jesus is declaring it, you know it's been established in heaven. Therefore, this woman is going to be blessed. But he's looking at her and saying, her faith, the faith in what she is sowing into, is worth more gold, more weight than all what everyone else is doing. Why? Because she's literally giving God her everything. She's literally giving God all she has left, but what she's doing is making room for the more that he has for her. She may never be the richest person, but she's going to be blessed. She's going to walk in blessing. I promise you, every single one of us, when we trust, when we give God our very last, our first and our last, we walk in his blessings. I'm going to close with this quick testimony, and some of you have been here, you know, been here a while. I've heard me share this many times. But for the people that are new, you know, back in 1996, when I was going through my divorce, and I was told I was never going to see my son again. Legally, I had not adopted him yet. And my ex was taking him and saying, you're never going to see him again. That's it. I made a very hard decision because the rules that she had for me seeing him was that I had to give her the child support. And it wasn't about the money, but it was about the way that money was being used and the way she was living in those moments. And my conviction under the accountability of our former pastor and people like Anne-Marie and Roberta back in the day was no, not to do this. This just does not honor God. There's other ways to honor God in these things. And I was told by everybody but people, except for the people in this church, that if you don't just do what is being asked of you to do, you're never going to see him again. You're done. Made the decision to give God, give him to God 100%. Trust God with my last by sticking to what God has for me, to the convictions God put on me, by honoring him first, trusting him. Long story short, miracles worked out that people are still scratched their head how it happened. But it's because the commitment to God has to be first, and I'm trusting God first with my everything. Whether it's finances, in giving, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in friendships, family, Lord, I am giving you all I have left in the things you've called me to give. And I trust you to use them as you would. And I'm trusting you not to forget about me, because I know you love me. And you will surround me, and your blessings will overtake me. May not be the richest person, I may not have the most things, but I will walk in your peace. I will walk in the love of my Father. I will walk with increased hope and faith and a deeper relationship with my dad who loves me. Would you stand with me? Just position yourselves in that receiving position right now. Just let the Holy Spirit just come and minister right now. Yes, Lord. Just come. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm hearing the word fear, and I know that's the biggest antagonist to trusting God with our last, is the fear of the unknown. So in Jesus' name, we release peace right now into the unknown realm, because that peace says, I do know what's in that unknown realm, and that is Jesus. That Jesus, you are in the unknown realm. it is already known to you. And my faith is in you, not in anything short of that. So, Spirit of peace, come over us right now. In Jesus' name, cover us. For the unknown is known to you right now. And true love casts out fear, and you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you, Lord. In a moment, I'm going to release you to get into groups of threes and fours to just pray for one another about the freedom to release and trust these things. But I'm going to ask a question right now because we just had a word of knowledge. Does anyone here know a Julie and a Jackie who are hurting in some way? They may not be members of this church, but you may know them. If you do, when I release you to pray, go pray with Pat, because Pat was given a word that God wants to release something over them. Well, Maureen, if you can pray with along with Pat. So, okay. So when you're released, please do that. But right now, just Holy Spirit, come. Just speak to everyone right now. That we just move in the way that you've called us to move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you all just go ahead right now and just gather in your groups and just pray for encouragement in one another. Then you're released to go in His love.